Hello, and welcome to the Gifted Life Podcast, where we have conversations about organ, tissue, and eye donation and transplantation. You can always find us at thegiftedlife.org. Tell your friends. I'm Lori Steele.
I'm Joey Boudreaux.
And I'm Nyla Schwab.
And I'm ready to party.
Yes, I am too. And we're going to have an in-studio guest. We always love those.
Yes, so much fun.
We're talking about a new event in Baton Rouge. You better get your boots ready.
Ready?
That's going to be fun. So this is why I picked meaning-making. Even though it's a simple term, but it takes thought and it takes work and it takes intention. And I think our guest today has done exactly that.
You'll want to stay tuned. Let's get going. Here on the Gifted Life Podcast, we'd like to introduce you to some fun, right? You may have heard about Louisiana Saturday nights in Baton Rouge. Well, hang on to your hat because we are adding to your party plate. And our party planner is Miss Wendy Lipsey. She's in the studio. Hey, ma'am.
Hello, hello. Thank y'all
for
having
me. Why are
y'all
so quiet? You know, every time Wendy comes in, we're like, woo!
That's
you
right.
Get down the fiddle and you get down the bow. You kick off your shoes. Everybody
and
knows
you
it?
Come on,
yes.
Floor.
We are
in the
getting
kitchen
ready.
In the morning light.
Louisiana Saturday night.
If you're not from Louisiana, Google that song and come and have fun with us.
Can we get Joey to say the name of the event just because?
With his Cajun twist?
Yeah, I do need
Would
that.
Would you? Mind
so,
you mind?
So we're having the Fado Donate, which sounds perfectly normal to me.
It does.
But
Fado Donate. Which is that party is going to be epic, right? But the planning of the party, the why behind the party is just as epic. And so Wendy's here to tell us all about it. She's a recipient. She's our LOPA Foundation Vice President, and she is leading the fund here in Baton Rouge. So welcome to our Gifted Life Podcast studio.
I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here and talk about this amazing celebration of life that we have coming up.
Yeah. So Fado Donate, just the quick and dirty. It's April 27th. Baton Rouge, tell us about it.
It's April 27th, Baton Rouge, at Live Oak Arabian Arena, a very...
It's not a public area.
It's not a public area. Most people have dream about coming to this
Beautiful.
Place, and they're opening up their barn doors for us to have a really good time that night. So we're really excited about going there and celebrating life. And we have a Spark page that's all... You know, over social media, people can look on the LOPA page, LOPA Baton Rouge page, look on my page, buy a ticket, buy a sponsorship, and come and pass a good time.
That's a good time, Shat. I like that. So
LOPA.org,
yeah, check that out. And so we'll be telling you more about it. But we started with saying you're a recipient.
Yes.
So we want to talk about your journey and what led to what it is that you're planning, this big event to benefit our LOPA Foundation.
I was diagnosed when I was 18 with a rare autoimmune liver disorder, primary sclerosing cholangitis, which is a progressive liver disease. And the doctors had always told me that one day I would need a liver transplant, but we didn't know when. It was, you know, just a progressive liver disease. So I had lots of procedures and surgeries to tie me over for many years. I was very sick. I was diagnosed when I was 18, graduating high school, going on to college. And, you know, a lot of my life had to be put on pause because of my illness and surgeries and being hospitalized, my immune system. But I mean, I don't let anything stop me, by the way. I live my life to the fullest. I can hear it.
Can y'all hear
right?
that?
I know. Like, you know, I can be sick in the hospital bed, but I'm still listening to music and singing along in my hospital room. And the nurses will peek in the room and be like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, just join in. Like,
well,
we're singing
colors,
in my bed.
Life. Yeah.
Ring them bells. Don't even. Anyway, Laura will start laughing about that. But anyway, so with that knowledge, you know, I went on to college, and my first year I got very sick and I was jaundiced and I had to be hospitalized and have a major surgery, a choledochoduodenostomy, which is like,
That's a
liver bypass to make my common bile duct bigger than it needs to be mm-hmm. so the bile could excrete through my liver. That remarkable surgery held me for 20 plus years
wow.
until 2007. When they decided I needed, Ochsner decided I needed to be put on the liver transplant waiting list. And it was about this time where I met Nyla.
Mm-hmm.
And Nyla had gotten my name from somebody and wanted me to come speak to some nurses at Superior Grill.
Superior Grill, I remember that.
Now, I grew up with Nyla's husband, and I knew that she and her husband lived across the street from me.
Well, I did meet you the first time trick-or-treating, and I walked up to your door, and she had, like, Halloween, orange, green. They were green and black, like tights.
I was a black witch.
You're a witch, yeah.
Yeah, I was a witch.
And you're such a happy witch. Such a happy witch. Giving out candy, talking to everybody.
But I'm not sure you put the connection
I had not.
Together.
Because I was like, who is that crazy neighbor?
Yeah, she does. And her son is Bob the Builder. And you would call me and ask me to come speak. And I said, I don't know if you realize, I said, but I grew up with your husband. And I said, but I'm the crazy witch lady that lives literally across the street. And I was like, just stick your head outside. And we're like, hey, she literally lives across the street from me. So that was kind of how, you know, I got to know and, you know, get in with LOPA. And that was my first volunteering experience, was before my transplant.
And that was hard. It was hard to see you because right now you're this tiny, tiny, healthy, just vibrant woman, and
but
then
I'm
you were very
sure
you were very sick, and and your tummy was very
ascites,
very very large.
Yes, I remember exactly. You know, I remember that. I mean, I looked like I was 9 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. Highlighter, yellow eyes and skin, mm-hmm. and itchy, and I was at Superior real sick as a dog. Mm-hmm. Talking,
showed up with such a positive attitude and ready to let any nurse or doc, because we had doctors show up to just educate them on what the recipient side looked like.
And Kirsten had even come from New Orleans and brought a liver recipient, Brooke Upton. And that might not be her maiden name, but married name, but brought Brooke. And it was the first time I had ever had a chance to meet a liver recipient. And Kirsten made that happen. So it was like I had someone to talk to. And so I started getting more involved with LOPA. And then I was on the list. And about maybe 6 weeks after being listed, I was at Oxter in the hospital because I had a kidney stone and I was having kidney stone surgery. And this is weird. All of a sudden, a lot of the Oxter doctors come in my room and they're like, we have news for you. We have a liver. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm not here for a transplant today. I'm having kidney surgery for a kidney stone. They were like, no, that we might have a liver for you. And what was weird is Kirsten, another Kirsten over here, Kirsten Hines,
our executive producer,
who's right here listening to this, happened to be doing rounds with the doctors that day. They invited her on rounds. She was in the room with me when the doctor said they had a liver for me. And she was also in the room with me 7 hours later when the doctors came back in the room and said, it's a no-go. The liver's not good. You're not getting a liver transplant. And she got to see the excitement in my family. My mother were all so excited to the, it, you know, it wasn't a good liver. I wasn't getting a transplant. So my ties grew deep with LOPA, you know, mm-hmm. which made me want to volunteer more and be a part of LOPA and do more to help more people and try to spread awareness. So with that, I waited 2 years and it was 2009 that I got the call from LOPA, not from LOPA, I'm sorry, from Oxner, saying I'm number one in the state, number one in Oxnard, and it's literally my time, and they have a liver for me. And I tell this in my story when I talk to the community, that when I got up and was getting my suitcase together and leaving, I remembered Luke waking up, and my son was 9 at the time, and he always knew what was going on with me. And I remember him coming in the kitchen, and he was yawning and stretching, and he was in his little cute little Garanimal PJs. And he goes, what's going on? What's all the fuss? I was like, Mom, got a call. I'm getting a liver transplant. And just the whole room got dead silence. And he looked at me and he goes, Mom, am I ever going to see you again? Because he knew I could either survive or I could die in surgery. You know, he knew the risks because he'd been with me to appointments. But of course, I went into super mom mode. I said, of course, you're going to get to see me again. I'm going to get a new and improved liver. We're going to get to do all the things we've always dreamed about doing. And I was like, we're going to, you know, get to do all those things. And he was relieved. And, you know, he believed me and I believed in the doctors that this was going to happen. So with that, I went and had a liver transplant. Very successful. I had written a note, a letter to my donor's mom, through LOPA, you know, an anonymous letter through LOPA, and they connected me. And Lori came with me, Steele over here, came with me to Lafayette, and we had lunch with their family and got to know them. And my donor hero, first donor hero's name was Christian, and I live his legacy. I live my life to the fullest to honor him, because I do believe, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, I do believe that as recipients, it is our job, it is our responsibility to live our lives to the fullest after a transplant, because we have to honor, there's no better way to honor the donors and the donor family than to show appreciation for the life that was given to us. So that is what I do mm-hmm. each and every day with every breath that I take. So fast forward 5 years, my autoimmune disorder attacks me again, 2014. I was in denial, did not want to admit it. I was jaundiced, sick again, in and out of the hospitals. The doctor said they did everything they could do to revive my liver, absolutely everything, in and out of the hospital, and they could not. So they put me back on the liver transplant waiting list, which was just daunting. And I was just moving into a new house with my son, newly divorced. I had a lot of things going on that year. While I'm in the hospital for months and months, and I had hepatic brain encephalopathies, all the toxins were in my brain. I couldn't talk, couldn't text people, couldn't make a sentence. I was in and out of a coma for quite a while. The doctors had told my parents, you know, if Wendy doesn't get a liver within 72 hours, she's not going to be alive. Within a few hours of that, the doctors had come back in the room and said, listen, we've just gotten more blood work and her urine output is not good. She needs a liver and a kidney. And if it doesn't happen in the next 2 days, 2 to 3 days, she's not going to be with us any longer. I couldn't really talk and respond because of my brain encephalopathy. But literally within 72 hours, the doctors came in and they had great news, and they were off to, they couldn't tell us where, but they were off to get the liver and kidney. And if it was a go, this was like 11 in the morning, then surgery would be at 8 o'clock tonight, that night. So they went off and to, you know, look at the organs to make sure they were suitable. And next thing I know, like the nurses are in the room prepping me saying it's a go. And my mom's calling the family and everybody's coming, you know, mom's like, everybody's going to come to wish you luck. And in my brain, I was thinking they're coming to tell me goodbye, because I was so weak and so sick. I weighed 68 pounds in 2014 that I didn't think I was strong enough to go into this surgery. That was just my mindset. I just was very sickly. I remember the doctors coming in, wheeling me into surgery and telling my son and my family goodbye. They're telling me good luck. And I had a very, very successful liver and kidney transplant, where in 2024, on March, first of all, February 11th is my liverversary from my first donor, Christian. And I always text his mother or call her on that day. And I have every single year to let her know that I'm thinking about her. And he is still with me, even though I don't have his liver. And I have tried to reach out to my, as Nyla
yes,
knows,
yes.
to my second donor. And they were from Georgia. It was a lady from Georgia. And their children are not ready to talk about the death of their family member, their loved one. So I have to respect that. But I just want to make sure they know that there are people that she has saved that are alive and well. So with LOPA, I have made it my mission as a recipient, you know, and I hope it never comes across to a donor family that I'm disrespecting them in any way, because I am a loud person that likes to have fun, and I'm always in a good mood. My son will disagree, but you know, but I try to like keep a positive energy. I'm an eternal optimist, and I want to spread joy and spread awareness. And that is my way. That is my way of honoring my donor hero. What people don't understand is recipients, a lot of them like me, either with heart issues, liver issues, kidney issues, live their entire life sickly. So most of my life, I was sick all through elementary school, middle school, high school. We did not know why till I found out I had a liver disease. So my childhood I was very, very sickly and I did not get to live. So now that I've got a new lease on life and a liver and a kidney, and I no longer have that autoimmune disorder, now it's my time to live. And a lot of people don't see it that way. They think, oh, she's lived her whole life. No, I was sickly from early on until 2009 when I was 40 years old. Now I'm getting to live in the second part of my life. I'll be 55, and I never thought I'd see 50. I never thought I'd see my son turn 21. He's now 25. I'll be 55 on April 22nd, the weekend before the, say it, Joey.
They do donate.
it's not a party about me. It's a party about everyone. It's a celebration of life for recipients and for donor families or for living donors, like that have gifted a kidney or a small part of their, you know, liver to somebody. It's a celebration for everyone. And that's what I want this to be, from all walks of life, from all different, you know, cities in Louisiana. I want it to be for everybody. That's my goal for the FADO Donate.
Well, we feel your energy and your positivity. And what she's saying is right, because she comes out with us in the community and she gets requested because she brings this positivity into the classroom, into churches and temples and everywhere that we go. And she connects with them and answers all of their questions. Mm-hmm. Like some ask if there's a scar, like what kind of medications that she's on. And she's just very raw and honest. And here's where I am. And I know you mentioned Luke. I want to talk about him as well. He had to grow up really fast.
Really fast.
But now he's older and he's giving back because he is so grateful. You guys go to concerts. That's kind of y'all's thing.
That's right? Our thing, like going to country Western concerts, like all over. I mean, we will fly to Dallas for the night. We go to Nashville for 2 days. Randall
Adventures.
Opry. I know they are. And there are. And every time I text Lori a picture of it, she's like, look at all these memories that you're making. And, you know, my son did not know a healthy mom until he was like 10 years old. And then I got sick again for 5 years. Then he didn't know a healthy mom till he was 15. And that was right when I was in the hospital. It was time for him to get his driver's license. And I remember him taking a picture and sending it to my parents to show me that he got a heart on his driver's license when he signed up. And that, like in 2014, was really the first time I got to live life with my son. And we just kind of made this bond, like this, you know, deal with each other. We are going to do it all. You know, we're not going to miss out on things. We're going to say yes, come from a place of yes and embrace it. And that is exactly what we do. And I'm just always worried, like, are people think, you know, I don't want anyone to think I take anything for granted. I want them, any donor families that don't know me or may know me, whether they're my donor family or not, there is no greater gift that they could give than the gift of life. And I live it, love it. I'm appreciative. And I just want to make sure that is always understood about me. I don't want anybody to think of me in any other way but this way. And I want it to come across to everybody for this event. This is the reason for this event, the FADO Donate.
I'm just so glad that you're talking about this, that you're sharing this, because so many, like, we don't get to hear all of this from recipients. And to for everybody to know, like, I've never really thought about how, like, the life that you didn't get to live.
Yeah. That's when she was saying it at 18. That's what, that was actually, I was thinking about while, before you even mentioned it, I was thinking, wow, how much of life did she miss? I can remember, you know, being 18, 19, 20. In my mid-20s and all the things that I was able to do and that you weren't able to do. And to finally be able to live, you know, obviously I can't speak for donor families because, you know, I'm not immediate family, but we work with donor families enough to know that, like, that's what they want to see, like people living and appreciating and not just going back into a cocoon and, you know, they want that, you know, and so you're able to do that. And that's such a blessing.
That's kind of what the legacy that I want to live. And that's what I'm trying to bring to LOPA. Nigel and I have had these conversations, you know, y'all are a Louisiana, Oregon procurement agency. So you do work with the donor side. That is your job. That is your job. But there, I would like people to also see there is a whole another side. It's like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And we, you know, that's what it is. You know, I would wake up and go to school and I tell my mom, I mean, this was, I mean, from fifth grade on, like, I don't feel good. Something, and we didn't know what it was. I had just a horrible immune system. And my mom would check my fever. I fever. I'd get an earache. I'd get strep throat because I just couldn't fight off. We didn't know that I had an autoimmune disorder till I was 18. It didn't unfold and start presenting till then. So I missed a lot of school dances and I missed going out with my friends a lot. So I literally, when I say I just started to live life, you know, at age 40 for the first time after the liver and then like 45, I wanted to have a 45th birthday party and call it staying alive at 45. And now that I'm turning 55 the week before, I think I need to have a staying alive at 55 party, yeah. You know.
Staying alive.
Right? But, you know, I just want to make sure that that's being represented when we go out. You know, a lot of times, Lori and I.
Whenever you walk into a room that is represented by your energy, by your gratefulness, I mean, you're always so welcoming to anyone.
And she's spreading the message, yeah. Like whether we're in line at a grocery
yes.
store, if we're having lunch, if we're at a festival. Do you have a heart on your license? Let me tell you about me.
Yes.
And then she takes some dancing.
Alive. And because of that,
yes,
you know, somebody
it's
said
so wonderful.
Yes. It is. It is wonderful.
So as y'all might know, Lori and I, and hello everybody, Troy, Richie, we went to film a public service announcement with Kim Mulkey, and she's talking about organ donation awareness. That was in September, encouraging people to sign up and reaching a large audience. So I am at a banquet last week, and Kim was sitting at our table, and she was making me bid on all of her auction items of all of her clothing.
They wear the same clothing.
Like
fabulous wardrobe
anyway,
and closets.
That was a whole other story. You know. Anyway, so Kim said to me that day, that night, and I'm doing my best, Kim Mulkey. She goes, you know, you reminded me I need to sign up to be an organ donor. I don't know why. It's not on my license. Kim, I'm doing the best I can if you're listening. And the next day, I am driving to the PMAC to the women's game versus Florida. My phone is ringing. And on my like big screen on my seat, it says Kim Mulkey. And I'm panicking. Oh, my God, did I take the wrong auction item? Does she want them back? Like, what happened? Or did I not bid enough? Dear God, you know, what happened? She's calling me, and she just wanted to thank me for last night and sitting at our family table. And she just feels like family to us. And she goes, Wendy, I want to let you know, I'm not very technical savvy. Like, she's using these words. She goes, but I got my assistant today, and we just went on LA Wallet. And I now have a heart on my driver's license because
Wendy.
Of how you've affected me.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That is actually. I am a big fan, of course, of all LSU sports, but of course, Kim Mulkey. And that is very good. I'm impressed with that. And the other piece of this, so I listen to her. She comes on Tuesday mornings when I'm driving here oftentimes and off the bench to the show in the morning. And she's talked before about the fact that when they gave her laptop, LSU gave her a laptop her first day on the job.
She has no idea how to
never,
use it.
She doesn't even know where it's at. So that's how non-technical.
She has all those awards. She's on no social media. Yeah, she's not on any, like if you see Coach Mull,
like
it's not her posting. And So she's like, I got my assistant and we went on LA Wallet, just like you said. And I just wanted to let you know. And I was like, gosh, Kim, this means so much to me. But like, aren't you on the way to a game like to coach?
Yeah,
like,
right? Big game.
Like big game. So anyway.
But
you
even
know,
further, do you want to, because people may not know or they may not have seen it, but she actually did a public service announcement with LOPA to promote
yes.
donation, volunteered her time, and it played in a packed because
yes.
she packed
yeah.
the house, which was pretty
so
awesome.
So as we were all there in her office and we filmed the PSA, we did it with my son because we've done it for years. Our first PSA we did was Skip Bertman. The second one we did with was Alex Bregman. So now it's time to bring on Kim Mulkey, you know, got to bring them all in. And
they want to do it like they just donate their services.
They do.
Which is
and
awesome.
It's amazing. It's an amazing experience. Y'all all got to witness it. I know Troy back there did and Lori. And she did a beautiful public service announcement, and I asked her as we're leaving her office, like leaving LSU, I'm like, God, you know, it's something sticking in my head says you never know until you ask. Like if somebody, you might get a yes. So I kind of was like, I just all of a sudden whipped my head around. I was like, Kim, quick question. Is there any way we could air this PSA on the Jumbotron during an LSU women's basketball game? And she immediately goes, I don't see why not. She goes,
which is it's rare. So if you don't know, I'm trying to make it, this does not happen.
No.
Right.
No. Okay. So she says, tells Luke, go downstairs and see that. And it was a guy. I'm not going to say the guy's name. Go down and get it set up right now. I'll text him right now and tell him y'all are coming. And it's fine with me. I'm sounding way more Western than she is. I got to dial this down. Go back. So we did. Next thing we know, we're in this guy's office and he's like, yeah. Send it to me as soon as you edit it. Troy and Richie edited it, made it amazing. We sent it to them. So Lori came with me and we sit courtside.
Well, she said we're going to sit courtside. And I'm like, sure.
She thinks like front row. And I'm like, no, like you're physically on the court where like,
on the court.
You know, the first game last year, the player Poa fouled a ball, went over my head and she literally fell on top of me and I had a sprained meniscus from her.
And so Wendy's tiny.
Going into my
Wendy,
shin.
Yeah. So it's tiny compared to tall basketball. Yeah.
And then I had bruises on my shoulders from the impact of her blow. And I'm like, of all people, can you fall in on my son or my mom? I mean, something. But so with that, Lori and I are waiting and we're like, okay, it's going to be aired at halftime. That's what they told us 1 minute into halftime. So we're waiting for that 1 minute into halftime. And it's literally between the first and second period. There's a quick little, all of a sudden we hear,
but
Kim Mulkey
like
here.
And it went silent.
The entire 12,000 people in the PMAC, dead silent, listened to the entire PSA with, you know, Luke, Kim, and my son. Everybody started cheering and clapping. Everybody was coming up to us saying, oh my God, I received the gift of life. I'm a recipient.
Yeah, really
my son was a donor.
Awesome.
Like we could not get, Lori, I swear, Lori and I could not get out the door of that PMAC without people
somebody
running from
time.
The stands
awesome.
To
God.
Let us know
or
their
how can
time.
I help? Yeah. What's coming up next, which is pretty awesome.
And I'm still hearing the effects of the Kim Mulkey PSA.
Yes.
They're like, are they going to ever air it again? And I'm like, well, it's on social media. I mean, it blew up. I mean, it blew up and it was just the biggest gift. She's a generous person and said yes.
And Wendy is too. And it's fun working with her because it's different projects that can't get done anywhere else. Like a year post-transplant, she was the disco duck and being flipped upside
duck.
Down.
Yeah, it did happen.
But it was
dancing for big
her dance for life. That. And it was about donation. So the whole arena heard about donation and her story, which was pretty cool. And then she comes up with this idea and she goes, you know, I have this friend with this beautiful horse farm. Like, well, I don't know if you call it a farm, an arena. I mean,
it's an arena.
It's
with Arabian horses.
It's more than a horse farm.
Yeah,
it's beautiful oaks. It's just a beautiful place.
It's
and she said,
a lodge.
I think we're going to do like a fey-do-do, but we're going to call it a fey-do-donate. And I'm like, okay, what does that look like? She goes, well, let me tell you. So you have been hard at work.
We have.
On this
new, fun
gig.
We started this idea.
Can I stop? And because most of the people probably don't even know what a fey-do-do is. So y'all kind of explain a little bit?
I mean, I could just sing the song. Right? There's down the fiddle and you get down the bow. Oh, you get
it's a good old Louisiana, film. South Louisiana.
Bringing
very,
it back to the southern
very,
roots.
Very Cajun, you know,
yes.
from way back in my ancestors' day, back in the day. But it's just a time where
music.
Everybody gets together, music, family, fun, you know. And it's oftentimes, it's a small festival. You know, it's usually very community oriented.
Did they do square
and
dancing?
A lot of they did square dancing. They do all the two step and the
partner.
Cajun two step and all the things that I like to do. So
we tried to bring this back to the roots of the fey-do-do and make it. So it's called a fey-do-do in real life, but we wanted to put the organ donation spin. And it's a fundraiser. It is unapologetically a fundraiser for the Lopa Foundation.
It's a fun fundraiser,
but the money is going to go to help with education and awareness and events that we can do in the community for recipients and donor families and make life happen for more people and, you know, just spread more awareness. And that is what it's all about. But we tried to start doing this right before COVID hit.
Dun.
I had
some
of the people from here in New Orleans. We were in Baton Rouge doing another event the Attic Trash and Treasure sale for the proceeds to go to LOPA. And I set up a date and time to meet at the Live Oak Arabian Stables. We all got to view it. We're like, let's do it. Literally 3 weeks later, the world shut down. And guess what? I had to shoot, get down because I couldn't risk with my infection rate. So I literally went into hibernation for a good couple years. And so finally, you know, a year ago, we're like, it's time. It's time to get back to life and let's have this Fado donate and include everyone. And I'm talking about New Orleans, Shreveport, Monroe, Alexandria. Lafayette. We want you. We want you to come, pass a good time. I'm using right terminology. Yeah. I want to round you up.
Confirmation, Joey. Yes.
I want to round you up.
But you know, it's great. Okay, so you hear Wendy how passionate she is. Yes. So she just would tell her friends, like, this is what I'm trying to do. And then they're like, well, we want to help you do that. So your friends are like, well, use our place that we don't really open to the public. We'll do that. Let us help you. What can we do? So it's pretty awesome.
They open it to the public, but to very select people. And so we were gifted this amazing. And then since then, I've been working on sponsorships. We've gotten amazing sponsorships. There are still sponsorships available at all different levels, a sponsorship for everybody to fit anyone's budget, and individual tickets that are only $100 a ticket. This is an event all inclusive, whether you're a donor family, a living donor, a recipient family, come
or
you join love our family.
Tied to donations somehow.
Absolutely. Yes. Nurses who are calling
transplant doctors, they're coming. They're all coming to this event. And we want you, we want everyone to come and just let's celebrate together and dance the night away. It's just as simple as that.
And you know what the number one question we've been getting?
What? Tell us.
What do you wear? What do you wear to this?
Please tell me.
So please, our fashion icon, tell us more.
Leave the high heels at home. Duh, I do that anyway. But jeans, if you need to wear something bedazzled, I'm wearing something bedazzled today, but it's not Western. But, you know, just fun, casual boots, jeans, a Western belt, put a hat on, plaid shirt, bedazzled shirt, vest, bolo tie, whatever you want to wear, and just come be comfortable, ready to dance, and have a great time. We have a great, we have just some really neat things that are going to happen that
some
night, and
surprises.
We don't want you to miss out.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good. Simple. So LOPA.org is where you go to register to be an organ, tissue, and eye donor. You can also find information there about the FADO donate, but I want to give you this site as well. So LOPA.org/FAISDODONATE, LOPA.org/FADO donate. There you go. That's it. So it's going to be a fun party. Thanks for all that you do and participating in all the fun and being our ringleader for fun.
I appreciate y'all's time and letting me come and talk to y'all and spread awareness. And I just hope I pass along good energy and people. I just want to pay it forward to what has been given to me. So let's just all do that in our lives every single day. Think of something you can do to pay it forward and help others.
You're like a little Tinkerbell.
Not a Muppet.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you there.
Yeehaw.
It's that time here on the Gifted Life podcast. We're taking a moment, Joe.
Deep Thoughts by Nyla.
Meaning making, I mean, you can apply it to so many things, but there's actually a book that Dr. David Kessler wrote, and he is a grief expert, and it's called Finding Meaning. Many people know the 5 stages of grief. Mm-hmm. And so he worked closely with Kubler-Ross and actually came up, I mean, she worked on this with him, and they came up with this idea, or she supported it, finding meaning. And so this takes time. It's not simple. It's not easy.
No, but I feel like that's a heavy topic. Like, you know, it's how do you do it?
It is.
Especially when times are tough and it's like you're frustrated with the world and you can't, you know, everything feels like it's falling on top of your head. And then like those times, obviously, when we're talking about Kubler-Ross,
yeah,
you know, it's when you're supposed to find this, right?
It is. And you think about, there's so many losses, but what we deal with at LOPA, of course, is losing a loved one. And this is really focusing on that type of loss. But so many people are losing, have had so many losses and secondary losses and losses on top of losses. So it's really, David Kessler said, meaning is a reflection of the love we have for those we have lost. Meaning is the sixth stage where the healing often resides. And when you think about a family taking a tragedy, a loss, and finding a space where they know that person well enough to know, I want to honor them. I want to continue their love moving forward. And how do I do that? And so this isn't anything that is maybe it could. I mean, I've seen where families lose a loved one and jump right in because they know that purpose. And we have these guests on our podcast all the time, but it really takes effort and it takes time to think about your loved one and bringing that loved one forward with you. And I love this. It just says, even when you do find meaning, it does not feel it was worth the cost of losing your loved one. So it's not replacing your grief, but it's adding to the meaning of life. So I do think that we can take any situation and try to find meaning in it. And we'll talk more in different podcasts about, you know, sometimes we just want to avoid the hard stuff, but it's the hard stuff that continues to move us forward instead of staying stuck. So
I'm constantly inspired by our families and how they have their journey and then they share with others to help, you know, because there's no right way or wrong way. Everybody's different. And I learn from that every day. Like it is a journey to walk down. So
we help each other. Hey, maybe we should have a book club and we all read the book and then come back and figure out some of our own meaning in life. What do you think?
I'm interested.
I'm
curious. So is it like you said, some people find that sooner or whatever. So in thinking of Kubler-Ross's the five stages, you know, I know for some people, it doesn't seem like that's a linear thing. Like, people think about it linear, but it's not really, right?
Yeah.
And so I'd imagine meaning piece doesn't always come after the acceptance. It kind of floats sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's just, that's a great point. And, you know, I always want to say that Kubler-Ross with the five stages of grief, that was really written for people who are dying. She studied people who were dying, and she saw that they had these stages they went through, but it could be all at one time. It was never meant to be put in a linear outline. So I do think that, yes, anywhere that comes in, it's your grief. Like you said, Lori, I mean, it's unique to you, and no one can tell you how to do it. So when families say, I don't know what to do, it takes time, and it's moving forward one step at a time. Sometimes I'm sure, I mean, I've had my own loss. Lori, you've had loss. Joey, you've had loss.
That's what I'm thinking about now,
And it may be 6 years from now, or it may be tomorrow, but I feel like my grief comes back up when in special moments. My grief comes up in songs. So I do. Grief is always with us. But it's how we work through it.
Got us thinking, got us feeling. Maybe you have a topic you'd like us to cover here on the Gifted Life podcast. Please email us. You can do that. info@thegiftedlife.org.
It's time for our question and answer segment. Lori, I think this one's got you written all over it.
Okay.
Okay. It says, I would like to be a donor. However,
I like that you're thinking.
I do not want to donate one thing. Can I specify this?
All right. I like that you're open for conversation about it. I like that you're thinking about taking action and becoming a donor. So thanks for that. And really, the answer is it depends on your state's registry. So we're in Louisiana, so we'll talk about that. So in Louisiana, you can actually get in touch with us, the Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, and say, hey, this is what's going on. We're very friendly. We want to talk you through it, and we'll discuss it with you because are you making an educated decision? Do you know the facts? So very easy, no pressure. We just want to talk you through it. So that's what you can do. There's a national registry that we talk about here on the Gifted Life podcast. It's registerme.org. If you register there, you can specify your limitations there. So I guess no matter where you're listening from, you can contact your state's OPO, the Organ Procurement Organization, and they can walk you through, because we want you to be part of the registry. We want it to be what you want. We want this gift to be recorded. So reach out to us, talk to us. You can even call us here and we'll put you in touch. We just want you continuing to think about it, talk about it, and to take action.
And what about telling your family?
That is our most important, right? We talk about that all the time. Let them know. A lot of our families say, I had a 10-second conversation while I was in line at the OMV. So it's very important once you make that decision, and whatever that decision is going to be, that you do share with your next of kin, the person that we will talk to if something were to happen.
What a great question. Keep them coming, guys. If you have a question, give us a call. 504-648-3477. In every episode of The Gifted Life, we honor a hero. Today's hero is Jason Michael Williams.
And we learn about Jason from his family. My son was 30 years old when he was in a bad car accident. We lived 7 hours away, and we were called by the doctor at 1 a.m. and told he was in very bad shape. We drove to Louisiana, and after getting there at 8:30 that same morning, we were told his brain was dead and there was nothing they could do. Since he was unmarried and he had no children, it was our decision of what to do. Jason had marked on his license he wanted to be a donor. He had also told us that was something he wanted to do. His dad and I plan on being donors. The woman from LOPA spoke with us. She was not pushy. She allowed us to digest the information from the different doctors and her. We decided to go forward with the donation. He was pronounced brain dead at 11 a.m. on December 11th, 2006. They did the donation at 3 a.m. on December 12th, 2006. The fabric chosen on his memory square is called the Healing Garden, in honor of Jason, as we all try to heal from his loss. He was loved very much and will be missed forever. The fabric that she mentioned is part of a quilt that we put together to honor our heroes. If you want to see Jason Square and others, please visit LOPA.org and click on Hero and Recipient Stories.
We pause and say thank you to Jason for the gift of life.
Episode 236 of The Gifted Life in the books. Thanks for listening, guys. And remember, you can register as an organ, eye, and tissue donor anytime. Registerme.org.
And wow,
I'm still in a good mood. I'm smiling. I'm so happy.
So thankful for Wendy Lipsy for coming in and spreading her, just her cheer,
you can feel
her
it, right?
Vibes,
her, just her passion, you know,
her
and
passion
gratitude.
About
yeah, she's intentional.
Everything about
yeah.
life, mm-hmm. you know, and of course, putting together this Fado Donate, or that's going to be such a great event
loves
for
that
us.
You say that.
I was like, she missed you saying that part. Yes.
It was fun.
But very great. If you can join us at the event or support it in any way, we certainly appreciate it. The best place to find us, guys, is at our website, thegiftedlife.org. Check it out. Tell your friends.
Listen there and find links to listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a 5-star rating. It really helps us.
On social media, please like our Facebook page, The Gifted Life Podcast. You can also follow us on Instagram at Gifted Life Pod. Thanks for listening, guys. And we hope that you go out and do something you wouldn't normally do to help us make life happen. We're one big team. This is a production of the Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, or LOPA. The Gifted Life is hosted by Lori Steele, Joey Boudreau, and Nyla Schwab. Our executive producer is Kirsten Hines. Producer is Shalon Caraway. And we are recorded, engineered, and mixed in our Covington, Louisiana studio by Troy Perez.